Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
News today in the NFL, and it's the big news of the day. The NFL speaking out on the Tyreek Hill situation, and in fact, not suspending the Chiefs wide receiver. In a statement, the league said, and I'm taking it from their statement, in conducting our investigation, we have taken great care to ensure that we do not interfere with the county's proceedings or compromise the privacy or welfare of the child in any way. The information developed in the court proceeding is confidential and has not been shared with us, and the court has sealed all law enforcement records. Local law enforcement authorities have publicly advised that the available evidence does not permit them to determine who caused the child's injuries. And then it was added, the NFL cannot conclude that Mr. Hill violated the personal conduct policy with the evidence that is currently available. So Tyreek Hill, after the child abuse allegations, will not be penalized at all at this time by the National Football League.
So it feels like because they didn't have enough there, that they chose to not suspend Tyreek Hill, even though everybody was convicting him on social media a long time ago that he was guilty. And look, something may have happened, but the fact that the NFL took this approach, I don't have an issue with it. I really don't have an issue with it. I understand the NFL's approach, and maybe this is the approach they should have taken on some other cases.
The Ezekiel Elliott case has kind of been twofold, because you had the 6-game suspension for a variety of things that had happened. And then you had the situation at the Vegas Music Festival a couple of months ago that was just recently cleared up. Mm-hmm. One side of the Ezekiel Elliott thing went way to the right.
Yep.
The other one, now way to the left. And it seems that the NFL is almost on this now sliding scale of how they determine punishment.
It's an overcorrection to an overcorrection, to where Ezekiel, when I knew that there was sort of a shift in the thinking and the philosophy of the NFL, because you and I were on the air together, and I think we both said we were surprised that Ezekiel Elliott didn't at least get a game.
I was really surprised.
Yeah. And I think we were so conditioned to think like how the NFL has thought recently, that if you actually were to watch the video and see it, did anything really happen that warranted him being punished or suspended? He wasn't even arrested. He was placed in handcuffs, but he didn't even get arrested.
I think you can penalize stupid sometimes. I mean, like, I really do.
And supposed to mean, man?
If you are Ezekiel Elliott, you have to be aware of who you are and what can happen. Doug uses the term big boy a lot here. He walked towards the security guard. I know that we're not even talking about Ezekiel Elliott, but the point is, he knew what he was doing, and the guy fell down over a metal railing. Now, you can't do that stuff. I complained multiple times on whether NFL players are stupid enough. We would talk about, I believe it was Alden Smith who ended up being back. No, it was Reuben Foster. I'm sorry. Reuben Foster. When Reuben Foster would end up staying with his girlfriend where there were allegations or fake allegations. And the point is the first time I can understand, I can understand that, you know what? You got caught up into something that had no effect, or the person was doing you wrong. But the second time, if you're still with that person, not realizing the situation that you're in, and if this comes up again, then that's on you. And that's kind of how I feel with the Tyreek Hill situation. And I know it's difficult because they have the child together, but the issues that I see is, You got to figure out a way to keep these people out of your life, or at least not play as big of a role as they are, because then if they are a bad person, if they're the ones making up the fake allegations, you're the one that's going to pay the price for it. And that's where I look at like this situation, one that's being very difficult, is why is this still going on? Why are you still in a relationship with this person if this person is for some reason, wanting to harm your career and your livelihood. I don't get that.
Yeah, I've always said you can only control, you can put yourself in the best positions possible, and then you just have to trust that by doing that, something good is going to happen from it. And Tyreek Hill clearly hasn't put himself in the best positions possible, but the NFL just didn't have enough there. And whether you believe that Tyreek Hill was responsible for the injuries to the child or not, that's fine. It's totally your prerogative. But I just think that for so long, the NFL has been so harsh on other punishments. Look, Tom Brady getting 4 games for a football being deflated was insane to me. And I guess you could also make the argument that Tyreek Hill not getting any games for what happened and some of the details that came out is also a little bit insane. That's why I said it's just sort of this overcorrection to an overcorrection. And now they find themselves at a spot to where and also I don't buy the whole, well, it's, you know, they just care about ratings and they care about this. And man, If that were the case, would they have jumped out and been defending Aaron Hernandez? If that were the case, would they have been jumping out and defending all these other players that have had issues before? I don't buy that it's all about business. I think that's a stretch by a lot of people who want to turn this into something that it's not.
Yeah, Tom Brady is, I'm sorry, he's on a different level as Tyreek Hill. Yeah. And Tom Brady got 4 games at one point. So to look at that way, I look at it this way for the NFL of why they did what they did today. And I actually go back even before the Ezekiel Elliott situations, before all of this came up. And I go back to Ray Rice, because the NFL suspended Ray Rice for 2 games. And then the video came out.
Yeah.
And the outcry and the backlash at the NFL was, how in the world could you give this guy only 2 games when you had an opportunity to see the video? So they hand out a punishment when maybe they don't get all the information or don't want it to be known that they had all the information. They were in such a no-win situation there, because there were some that said, many who said, you're the NFL, you had to see it, you had to get that information. Maybe some people gave them the benefit of the doubt, saying, all right, well, you didn't have that. And the whole getting of the tape was a big deal, and whether the NFL offices wanted it or not. If you gave Tyreek Hill any sort of suspension, Jonas, that was 1 game or 2 games, and any of this evidence that they said in their statement becomes public or becomes unsealed, and all of a sudden we find out actual facts, the NFL here can always plead ignorance that we didn't know and that's why we didn't act. But if they acted, it would make it seem that the NFL knew, and right, if stuff came out, it would be worse. So I think it was in the NFL's best interest to be like, all right, we're not going to do anything here. Let's just, whatever happens, ends up happening, and move on. And if they would have given him any suspension, I think it actually opened a lot more trap doors for them down the line if any of this information came out.
It's better to have no punishment than a small punishment, because everyone will look at the small punishment, and if it comes out later, and the NFL has even said in their statement, part of their statement was, you know, if something else comes out or if there are more findings, then we'll look into this again. It's like, sometimes it's better to just miss work completely than to show up 2 hours late. You know, just miss work completely and just say you were sick, then show up 2 hours late and say, gas pump was broken and I couldn't get it. I agree with you. I think the NFL looked at this and said, let's just go ahead. We're not going to give him any suspension, but if something comes out or there is more evidence, then we will act on that now that we know for sure. And I think people, and the reaction that people have is because, one, it's a child that's involved, so that's going to obviously raise sensitivity and awareness, and I get it, and I agree, but also because you can look back at so many other cases over the past however many years since Ray Rice and go, well, wait a second, he got this, and they got that, and because you have so many examples in the NFL of them laying the hammer down on guys who maybe didn't deserve the punishment they got, that's why we have the reaction we do.
I was surprised that there wasn't any punishment, but now hearing their statement, reading it, I completely understand. Yeah. What is surprising, and it's something that we'll dive in later, is that not only will Tyreek Hill likely, or is not getting a suspension at this time, He's also likely getting a contract extension from the Kansas City Chiefs. So that at least that could be on the horizon for the wide receiver, who now will be able to return to the team, take part in training camp, and be ready week one.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Glad to have you with us on this Friday. If it was Saturday, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson could maybe join us. Same with Rory McIlroy, because they did not make the cut at the Open Championship.
Jeez,
wish they would have. I do. I wish they would have been in contention, but I do like this leaderboard, even though I don't think there's going to be a lot of people who are clamoring to wake up early and watch the action at Royal Portrush without those big three names, but I still think that there is a lot of great storylines at the top of that leaderboard.
And now let me ask, because I love having this conversation, maybe this is just a selfish conversation, but it's one that everybody can relate to. I love talking about time zones and weather, right? Big nerd, big weather nerd, 362 on DirecTV. That's the channel if you're looking for it, Dan. I know you're in the market for the weather channel on DirecTV. Channel 362 it is. But I love having the conversation about time zones, because if you talk to anybody back east who watches the NFL, they don't understand how great it is to watch the NFL on the West Coast until they do it. And then all of a sudden they go, God, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. Last year in Hawaii in August, watching Ohio State. Who did Ohio State open up the season with? It wasn't Maryland, was it? No, Ohio State opened up the season last year.
2 years ago, they opened on a Thursday against Indiana.
No, last year, they opened up against who? Ohio State opened up last year against... It'll come to you, but okay. The point being, I remember watching them and other games at 6 in the morning in Hawaii and thinking to myself, this is just the best thing on the planet. This is the most amazing thing in the world, because they were 3 hours behind. So that being said, and the reason I bring it up, this tournament's all the way over in Ireland. What time is this tournament starting each day? And are you, Dan, an avid golf guy, up at that hour to watch the beginning of the tournament?
We were lucky enough, because of being on the West Coast, and there's pluses and minuses, advantages and disadvantages. For us on the West Coast with the Open Championship, it starts Wednesday night. So the previous two nights, I was in with Jason Smith on the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, and we're doing the show and the opening tee shot was hit. So you're watching it at Wednesday night in what is 6:30 local time. And it's actually one of the neat things about the Open, because of the amount of daylight that they have. They don't have to go off split tees off the first hole and the 10th hole with two waves. They just send everybody out on the first hole and can do it all day long. There's guys teeing off at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for their final round. So it's just constant throughout the day. So I was able to stay up. And in my earlier years, I would be able to get up a lot earlier because I lived in a different time zone, lived in the central time zone. But I would get up and then watch the action, like starting at 3 or 4 in the morning, and then go through the rest of the morning and then try to catch up on sleep.
So now, first tee on Saturday is at what time?
Tomorrow will probably tee off. It'll start a little bit later because there aren't as many players, but they'll probably tee off, I would say, probably about 1 o'clock Pacific, probably 4 o'clock Eastern time.
In the morning?
Yeah, somewhere around there,
Are you getting up for that? Or are you staying
up for that? Not for those guys. I'll get up for the leaders. I'll get up tomorrow, which on the West Coast will be about, I'd say probably about 5 o'clock, because they're about 8 hours ahead. The leaders will go out at around 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Our time.
The moral of the story is, and the big question here is, are you going to be dragging ass for your Sunday show with Nick?
I honestly, I'm right now. I am very tired. I hope it's not coming off, but I got home last night after the show, did it on Wednesday into Thursday, went to bed at about 1:30. But because I was in last night, it was fine. I ended up watching golf. Last night I was pretty tired, sat down on the couch and was watching, put my head down and zonked.
Yeah.
And then I woke up about an hour later, and so then I went to bed and I got up this morning to watch the action. Unfortunately, missed most of Tiger Woods' round, but I don't think I missed much.
Well, what do you mean? He's playing Saturday and then Sunday, right? Isn't that
is not the case.
Oh, no? He didn't make the cut? No.
Oregon State, by the way, is who Ohio State last season.
Yeah.
The Tiger Woods story at Royal Portrush lasted only 36 holes. He is not going to make the cut. finishing at plus six, well off the cut line after a one under round of 70 today. Just for reference sake, in the 156 player field, Tiger right now, as the final players are wrapping up, in a tie for 119th. That is not the story. The story, as Jonas mentioned and we've been talking about, is Tiger is not playing the weekend. Tiger had more to the story as well after his round today when he spoke to reporters after missing the cut.
I just want some time off, just to get away from it. Had a long trip to Thailand, and then tried to get ready for this event, play this event. It's been a lot of travel, a lot of time in the air, a lot of moving around and different hotels and everything. I just want to go home.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Okay. All right.
That's just insane. We're going to need to mock the guy. He just got embarrassed in one of his, you know, could be one of his last tournaments of his career, and we're playing, like, making a joke of him.
John Ramos goes to leave and have a baby, and now it's all chaos over there with Lee and Ryan just dropping the Happy Gilmore. Here's the real question. Tiger didn't play between the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. Obviously, he mentioned his trip that he took with his family to Thailand, and I think that's... I don't think there are people who are going to blame Tiger Woods for wanting to take a family trip to Thailand, right? I mean,
who doesn't want to go to Thailand and watch Muay Thai fighting? Right. Honest to God, in like those little bird cages where they've got fights and you can gamble on them, and there's chickens hanging from the ceiling and guys are just destroying each other in the legs. Who doesn't want to see that?
Nobody's gonna say don't take your kids on a vacation. No one's gonna say that. But the reality is. Where Tiger Woods is in his life, the less golf that he plays, the better. But I'm not sure that a trip to Thailand was better for Tiger at that time. You have now got a stretch where the PGA Tour season is going to be wrapping up, and you're going to have the FedEx Cup playoffs. And honestly, it's not a big deal to Tiger. Majors are still a big deal. But for him to be run down now... while also taking a trip is one of those head scratchers for the simple fact of, as I said, no one's going to blame him, but Tiger Woods doesn't do that when he's 25 years old. He doesn't do that when he's 30 years old. Now he's obviously, life has changed, but also at that time, he was so strictly focused on golf and being who he was that now his priorities have changed, and that's why I think our expectations of Tiger Woods also have to change.
There was, and this is going to be a weird parallel, but I think it applies in this regard. So a lot of people were critical of the WWE and how they booked some of their events over the past couple of years because they kept bringing guys back like The Undertaker. Clearly not anywhere close to what he was before, but they had to do it because it's a name and people recognize it. And then they're bringing guys back like John Cena, who's basically a full-time actor at this point. You know, not really still a guy who people, you know, look at and want to see constantly, but they're doing it because they're okay. Well, he's a big name and he's a draw, and maybe can bring him some other fans or whatnot. And the big criticism was, why aren't you trying to push other guys on the roster or other athletes on the roster and start to transition and pass the torch a little bit? These people that are demanding so much out of Tiger Woods. Well, he's not playing the weekend. I'm not going to watch. I need Tiger. You need to come to grips with the reality that it's time to pass the torch and it's time to start getting and rallying around other players on the tour. Because how many more years does Tiger Woods have left on the tour, period?
There's a few. Like, I don't see Tiger grinding 10 years from now.
No shot. And does he strike you as the personality that wants to go play the senior tour?
Not at all.
Okay.
Zero.
So then you need to at least come to terms with the idea that this whole thing's winding down. He gave you a great weekend in Augusta. It was awesome. People were emotional, and it was phenomenal. But at some point, this constant demand on, if he's not there, I don't care. One, it's lazy. Two, it's unrealistic to expect that out of a guy at his age.
I also think it's tough where people, you have to start appreciating what you're watching. Like, we're so star-driven. Like, the NBA is, you know, now there's the topic of conversation of the... as great as free agency is, Jonas, these players aren't staying with teams, so maybe you're not being as attached.
Yeah,
there's obviously no teams in golf, but instead of appreciating just the player like you do in the NBA, and you want to start appreciating the team, appreciate the sport or appreciate what is going on. I mean, if Brooks Koepka wins this again, if he wins this tournament, there are very few players that have gone on the run that can match what Brooks Koepka would have matched. And there's something that you can latch onto of just watching him. And as I said, there are great, great stories. And if you don't want to spend every weekend watching golf, that's fine, but at least appreciate what some of the talent is doing and some of the talent that was ushered in because of what Tiger Woods did. It's tough when you've got such a standalone guy who is as big as he is. And for as great as Jack and Arnie and those guys were, no one was a bigger star than Tiger. That's tough to replace, but at least appreciate the golf that you've got.
And also, and we've said this before, and I don't care if he wins another major or not. For me, my opinion, he's the best golfer I've ever seen. I've never seen anybody better. People can point to how many majors, Jack's got this. All right, great. For me, my opinion, he's the best ever. I don't need to see him do any more. The fact that he is showing up, I think should be good enough. His resume. You know what he's done. The opportunity to get to watch that guy is amazing. Michael Jordan's last year with the Wizards. Look, we can all sit there and say, oh my God, he was just a shell of what he was. Or you can say, oh, that's the greatest player of all time. Mm-hmm. I'd like to just go and enjoy what I'm watching. Like, to constantly demand that he's got to do this because it's better for the sport and I'm not interested in if he doesn't. Look at the age. Look at the resume. Be realistic about what we have.
You're also setting yourself up for failure if you're expecting greatness every 100%. Time that he comes out there, because there is no way that he can live up to it. I mean, for Phil Mickelson, I mean, Phil's really kind of been one of the rare guys to do it, and Phil doesn't have the back issues that Tiger Woods has had and the surgeries he's had. Phil's had some other health issues, but he's been able to navigate. But there aren't many guys, Jim Furyk's still out there playing, but Jim Furyk's not winning majors. There's to play and to be competitive in your 40s in golf has been really, really difficult. And in this era with so much young talent and with the lifespan of your greatness in golf becoming shorter and shorter because of the great young talent, just appreciate what you've got. The one-off was in April with the Masters. That's not the norm.
Who's your favorite Seattle Seahawk of all time? Is it Steve Largent?
No.
Okay. Favorite Seattle Seahawk of all time.
Dave Craig, obviously, for because he's the reason I like the Seahawks.
All right. If somebody told you, hey, Dave Craig is competing in a 7-on-7 tournament, and it's right up the road here at that little golf castle, that miniature golf course, and they're doing a little 7-on-7 tournament in the parking lot, are you going to go, no, I mean, he's a shell of what he once was? Are you like the first person in line to go, I want to see Dave Craig throw the football around?
Yes.
Like, why can't you just enjoy it, man? Why does it have to be a major and he's got to win? And like, why can't you just sit back and go, this is awesome. Okay, so I didn't get to see him win, but at least I'm here in person. I don't understand that thought process.
And if Dave Craig wasn't throwing up the street, but John Freese was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Warren Moon. And
Dan McGuire.
There was a lot of throwing with him, but the point being,
a little Dan McGuire,
Rick Meyer, he could have used that one. Oh man, I got some. There weren't a lot of good memories with Rick Meyer, but
try growing up with Peter Tom Willis, pal. All right, yeah. See, you think you know quarterback pain? Try growing up with Mike Tomczak. Okay, try that on for size.
Former Buckeye.
Yeah. I knew that.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan coach, added again, if you missed his comments from the podcast with Tim
Tim Kawakami.
Yes,
you
Tim Kawakami.
Get his name right or else he'll block you on Twitter, Dan.
I follow him. I hope that he doesn't block me. Tim Kawakami's podcast. This is what Jim Harbaugh had to say about Urban Meyer and his time in college football.
Urban Meyer's had a winning record, really phenomenal record everywhere he's been, but also controversy follows everywhere he's been.
Okay, so that was the big thing that made headlines yesterday. Yeah. So today at Big Ten Media Days, because now all the SEC needs 4 days, the Big Ten takes 2 days to do their thing, Jim Harbaugh had a chance to respond to the comments that he made about Urban Meyer on that podcast.
No context you should know about that. I don't think it was anything that was anything new or anything of a bombshell. It's things that many of you all have understand and have written about.
Okay, now I have a biased view, so I'm going to lean on you for this. You hear those comments, what strikes you? Because I want to know if I'm far off in how I feel about these.
Jim Harbaugh reminds me of the people that argue LeBron James is the greatest of all time versus Michael Jordan. Because the Michael Jordan argument is easy. Well, 6 for 6 in the finals. Done deal. We're done here. Like, we don't need to talk about it anymore. Well, the Urban Meyer argument is easy. Yeah, he beat Michigan every time he played him and beat Jim Harbaugh every single time. So what's the counter to that? Yeah, but what about this? And yeah, so he went to the finals a bunch of times, but his teammates, and so Jim Harbaugh's taken that approach. Yeah, you know, he won those games, but, you know, everywhere he goes, there's stuff that follows him. Look, if we really want to go into every single program in sports, you can find something. If we really wanted to take a deep dive into every program, you could find something. Urban Meyer has had shady players on his team. Things have happened that have been controversial. I get all that. But this is Jim Harbaugh, without saying it, trying to justify why he is the right man for the job and pay no attention to the win-loss record, because at least we're doing things right over here. That's how I took it.
Yeah, it's classic misdirection, yes. Or I'll point out that, yep. So you don't see, yep. This. Yep. And that's how I felt about the post, because it wasn't as much of him being critical of Urban Meyer and the Ohio State rivalry as much as it was of him maybe using that as a shield.
Yeah.
So if you're an Ohio State fan, or you're someone who loves Urban Meyer, or loves the Buckeyes, or loves Florida, heck, he mentioned, you know, wherever you went, controversy follows. I don't remember the controversies at Utah or Bowling Green, but the point being, Jim Harbaugh was basically trying to distract from his lack of success at Michigan. And that's what it was. So it shouldn't be taken personally, but it's amazing, because you mentioned the Michael Jordan LeBron debate. There's debates about, like, where Jim Harbaugh is in the echelon of coaches, and to even put him in the top three, even with Urban retired now, I think is a far, far stretch.
See, I think it has been a success at Michigan, but I think the problem is, and you know this, who was the Ohio State coach? I believe he wore glasses, and he was a decent coach, but he could just never beat Michigan.
John Cooper.
Yeah, John Cooper could never beat Michigan. Jim Tressel owned Michigan. So he's always going to be looked at more favorably than John Cooper is because of that. Jim Harbaugh, I don't think that he hasn't been a success at Michigan. I think about where they were before he got there. He's turned the program around. He's constantly got them on the run. They're going places. They're having fun. Like, they've had success there. The issue is he hasn't had success in the biggest games. And so now people are looking at that closer and saying, well, you know, like what do we want here? And so him going this direction and taking this avenue, like, why is Urban Meyer even coming up? He's not there anymore.
Sure. Like, agreed, yeah.
I mean, and doesn't it almost make it worse if he goes in and he beats Ohio State and Ryan Day? Doesn't it make it even worse? Because then it's like, oh, so it was just Urban that owned you. Like, if Ryan Day and Ohio State beat him because it's just a athletic mismatch like it was a year ago, then it's like, oh, well, it's just the program.
Oh, you would think that, but the alternative is now is, oh, you can't beat them no matter who they have coaching. Like,
he's screwed. That's, no matter what.
Well, they're Michigan's win over Ohio State, the only one that they have since 2003, was in the transition year when Luke Fickle ended up having to take over from Jim Tressel and the program was in disarray. That was their only win. I'm not going to criticize Jim Harbaugh in Michigan for losing a Peach Bowl to Florida, when you have guys who are like, I'm not going to play, like, who cares? Like that stuff, I'm not worried about it. It's I know that they were the team, and that they were the squad, and that this was the Michigan team after losing to Notre Dame. It was the redemption tour, and then they get slaughtered. It's those things that I think stick up. And with Saban and Dabo having the lock in the top two spots right now, there's room for number three, yeah. But I think you could make the argument that Chris Peterson has done a better job in what he has done as a head coach. Jimbo Fisher, Texas A&M, at least has a national championship to his name. Like, there are other coaches. I just am not – Harbaugh's up there. They've had good success, but to sit there and – as so many people want to fast-track him and put him for what he's being paid – is also at the level of good he is completely off base.
Nick Rolovich with Hawaii. I mean,
yes,
I hear you, Dan.
Absolutely.
Like, there's all sorts of it's crazy all the major head coaches out there. Will Muschamp, obviously, being one of them. And, you know, but congratulations, though, Dan. USC is playing UC Davis as we update you on football from the West Coast.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, look, anything to be bowl eligible, right?
There's not a lot of options in the western part of the state. To get time. You're either playing Fresno State or San Diego State and looking around.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.